So, let's all do this as good as we can.
I don't want to be.
Are you all set? We'll call the regular city council meeting of January 14th to order. Please call roll.
Bronson?
Here.
Mallory?
Here.
Temple?
Here.
Kuchar?
Here.
Rapp?
Here.
Kukuski? Johnston?
Here.
Sarah, will you please speak?
Yes.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
To public comments. This is the time designated to address council on any topic that's not on the agenda. People wishing to address council should come to the podium and introduce yourself. Please keep comments addressed to the mayor and council. All right. We're ready, Sue.
Okay. Here I am, thorn in your side. Susan Cayley. I'm here once again. I've been doing more thinking about the marijuana issues presenting themselves to Sheboygan. And at a public meeting, I was told that since I'm not a resident of Sheboygan, that perhaps my comments aren't as precious as somebody that lives in Sheboygan proper. And I went home and thought about that. And I thought, I've been here, I chose to come here, raise my family here 50 years ago. And at times I did live in the city, I don't currently now, but all those 50 years, I've been part of the Sheboygan community, and I've had a 49721 zip code. And I just want to bring that Sheboygan is more than just the city. It's the whole surrounding area. It's what the townships uniquely contribute to Sheboygan City. And Sheboygan is so much more than just the city. And when I was thinking about the marijuana issues, I've talked to a few people this week, and marijuana has always been here. It's been around for thousands of years. And so we're not going to get away with, you know, not living with its influence on our civilization. But we do have an opportunity to control its influence in our community. And as always, my major concern is for Sheboygan herself. I love my community. And I've tried those 50 years to be a part of the solution and not part of the problem. And I think I've expressed myself that my heart is for children and families. And I deeply care about the children and the families. And so in my thinking this week, I thought about, talked to Matt from the Wesleyan Church, and he was saying that there are some empty buildings south of town. And I started thinking about offering you as a council to think about perhaps protecting Sheboygan proper from retail businesses and keeping it outside in discreet areas of our town that we can still be a part of where life is taking us, but we don't have to have it down in our family friendly community. And I once again want to encourage you to explore other options than inviting and welcoming marijuana growers into our community. We have some wonderful businesses coming into our community. We don't need marijuana growers in our community. And I'm just offering that for you to keep thinking about the welfare of the greater community. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to address the council? If not, we'll close public comments and move on to item 5, approval of agenda and receive and file all communications.
I'll move to approve the agenda and receive and file all communications.
Motion by Councilman Johnson, seconded by Councilman Mallory to approve the agenda and receive and file all communications. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Item 6, approval of prior meeting minutes, regular city council meeting minutes, December 23, 2019.
I have a question. Under messages and communications from the mayor and council members, the minutes reflect city manager Yusuf reported that the state has not determined how they want to proceed, but there may be a less expensive option to lease the property instead of purchasing it, which would still, and it ended there, so that is the only.
I can correct that.
Okay. Otherwise, I would make a motion to accept as corrected.
Support.
Motion by Councilwoman Rabb, seconded by Councilman Temple, to approve the regular city council meeting minutes with the correction. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Public hearings, consideration to establish a DDA commercial rehabilitation district. Proposed district being 807 and 811 East State Street, pursuant to Public Act 210 of 2005.
This request is from Mr. Mike Migda, who owns two properties, commercial properties at 811 and 807 East State Street. One is the former Black Muffler Shop. And what we are doing in this public hearing is setting the district for the legal description of those two properties. And then Mike is planning on developing those properties further. So we will come back to a public hearing to consider a tax abatement on those properties, which would basically just freeze the taxable value. And then for a period of time that the board would select, you would exempt them of property taxes on his improvement for 5 to 10 years, 10 years max.
So this is step one, is to approve the district.
To approve the district, and then we can get the plans for what he's going to do, and then once we get the costs involved and right. The taxes might be, and we'll take it back for a public hearing. Yes,
okay.
Possible.
Now, Public Act 210, that includes both possible abatements, right, or is this just one of them?
It's just one, yep.
Okay.
It is just that. There is another public act, but and they're very similar.
This is the one for he's already started the work?
Yes.
Right? Okay.
Yep, you can. Yep. You can already start the work and get the abatement for the improvements that have been made. Yes.
Sure. We currently have a district right now, correct? That we approved a few years ago,
yep.
Right? That we
yes.
Remember talking about this. And it's the 210 and 255 or something like that, right? The two
yes.
Different ones. And they're the same district? We have the same boundaries?
They are the entire DDA.
Okay.
Yes.
And I do remember at that point, the question was raised, whether it was myself or I remember the question asked was, if we want to expand outside of this district, this would have been the step to take. each now is, are we going to apply, are we planning on, are we setting precedence to take each individual case, each individual question property to make a second, third, fourth district?
Right.
Why wouldn't, because I think I asked a question, why wouldn't we just go around the city limits with both of these if we're going to promote growth? Right.
Yeah.
What's the reasoning or benefit versus the detriment to doing that?
Sure. We looked at that because of the east side, which is a distressed area. You establish districts like this that for distressed areas. The entire city's not distressed. I mean, the south end of the city, where we have Walmart and now AutoZone that went in, and Walgreens, and some of the larger business developments occur on that end. They generate enough revenue to support what they bring in to pay property taxes. So you work with these type of abatements for areas like where Mike is in, which has a more difficult time to generate the revenue to pay the property taxes for the improvement that he makes. We did consider, myself and in some conversations, the entire east side, which we have some vacant buildings, namely the car wash and two former banks, and that whole corridor really could qualify for a district. Again, going back to the south side of the city, there's nothing that's distressed on the south side. The rent rates for retail floor space are five times higher than on the east side. So there's nothing necessary to give those commercial property owners abatements because they can get a return on their investment. On the east side and downtown, I mean, we struggled with downtown for a lot of years. I mean, we had 16 vacant buildings in a four-block area in 2016.
Right.
So that's why we looked at the downtown and the DDA district to be the entire district to get new business investment downtown. And the east side really is in the same market, same boat. And we probably should do something for that market as well.
When we put this as a, when we scheduled the public hearing at the last meeting because we didn't want to slow pace. If there was a potential for someone to do this, Mr. Migda happens to be the applicant at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But why would we not want to, if we think the east side is distressed, from the State Street Bridge to the city limits that goes past where Roger Kopernik's building is, the Exit Realty, why wouldn't we just incorporate that as District 2? Or, instead of, mm-hmm. What I'm seeing is basically we're skipping over a portion and then placing a district. And we're going to have, what if somebody in between that wanted to
wants
do that?
It.
You know,
yeah.
I mean,
you're saying right from the bridge,
well,
all the way on out.
I'm saying circle the city limits, but at the end of the day, because each one of these applicants has the opportunity, the same opportunity to promote growth, it's the same question whether the rents are five times higher on the other side of on the south side. That's not part of the application and part of the reason why we want them to invest in their business, mm-hmm. essentially. Their return on their investment is their business decision. That's what they have to worry about. We have to worry about tax capture and for the city taxpayers what that money is for. So I've always thought that there's a double-edged sword in the whole process of this, of freezing taxes at a taxable value when there's an increase, because that's the only way our city is going to grow tax base-wise, is new improvements, essentially. Across the city limits. But I understand on the other side of the card is that people don't have the initial money to do that or wouldn't be able to recapture that, so it doesn't make a good business sense for them to do that. But we're setting a precedence that we are okay with doing this at citywide, and we're skipping around, essentially, is what it looks like to me. And whether I'm totally off base, I just want to raise the question of why we wouldn't, at least at this juncture, expand that to another wing of the city that we know is already distressed. And then if somebody comes in, this is part of this district already, there are these things available. It's almost a promotion tool that we could use to influence or to have people want to come in and invest. I mean, it's just, if we're going to do this, let's push it all the way through and get on board with it. Because that's what, without any growth, we're not going to get any additional tax capture. This is a 10-year, 5-year, however many years the freeze is. We don't get that then, but we're hopefully at the end, the wheels are already turning for a business, and then we can, it comes back on the tax roll.
Right, yeah.
I don't know if I'm way off base.
No,
I'm thinking the same thing. I mean, we've talked about how the east side needs some help, so why not create a district for that whole area? And like Nick said, it could be a promotional tool. Come invest on the east side. We've already got this district ready.
Also, like when the tourists come into Sheboygan, they're going to, you know, are they going to go, oh, my God, look at that mess? Or are they going to go, hey, this is Sheboygan. Looking good. I mean, because that house that I got is horrible ugly. And I can't wait to start on that house.
Right.
And anyways, that's where I'm at on that.
Question, Tom. If we progressed and looked at setting up a larger district, we'd still have a public hearing for the tax abatement for each individual.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It doesn't freeze all taxes. It frees all tax growth from the time it starts, right? So
yes,
we're not going back to zero.
No.
Yeah. I just want to clarify those points.
Yeah. And it freezes local taxes.
Yeah.
You still pay the state education tax and school operating tax on the improvement.
Just the city property tax.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
On that. I'm sort of in agreement here. We should look at that east side district. Probably we should look at the strip along West Mac and Avenue, State Street, too.
Yeah.
But I think that's something we can address in the future. If you get Mike moving along here, we could pass this, because then he would just be absorbed if we make it a bigger...
Right. His legal description would be part of that.
Yeah. But I think that would be a good thing for us to look at in the future, is do we need 2 or 3 or maybe 4 districts?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And can we knock those legislative steps out of the way now so investors can move straight into their application process?
Yeah. Yep. Skip that.
The district boundaries would be set.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's only for commercial, right?
Yes.
So essentially you could say all commercial in the town if that's what we decided to do.
Well, I don't know if we want to do it.
I'm just saying, just theoretically.
Yeah, theoretically, yes.
Okay.
You could, but
but
strategically, we should do it where
right.
in areas that are distressed, that aren't going to get private investment unless we help them.
And then, you know, you lose a bit of your tax income for the 5 or 10 years, but at the same time, it instantly has more jobs happening. Like some of our customers, they go to Indochina and eat. And you know, things like that are happening. They walk over to Tractor Supply, so all that stuff is playing a role.
Yeah, there's incidental improvement.
Yes, there is.
Yeah.
All right, how would council like to go? Do we want to act on this and look at the bigger picture?
Well, the only way I wouldn't really agree with acting on this is if we're going to hold it up. If it would be beneficial to the one applicant who's here to do this, and then we put it on an agenda for next month or whatnot.
Future meeting to do the entire district.
I don't know who would that be, you or the staff or council or planning commission to the next district to come up with that next district as far as that goes, or multiple districts. But if that would slow the pace of this project, I don't want to do that either.
Right.
And essentially, this doesn't give him a yes or no. The application and all of the next step actually is the yes or no kind of. So this is basically just setting this as a district. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't freeze taxes till that application is approved. So it's
my recommendation would be to move forward on this and task the planning commission to identify recommended other districts.
Like that idea. Mm-hmm. Me too.
We also have had some conversation with Mike Turisk at the county, and the MEDC is, through Lindsay Miller, is looking at commercial corridor districts in the city. It's another, commercial corridor districts work similar to the DDAs. And the east side would fit that legislation. So we're just in the early stages of looking at how that might be able to help us as well. But it may be that we'll establish a commercial corridor district and make that district a public act 210 of 205 abatement district. So I think we can coincide those together. So that's, again, that's something in the early stages. But and then, too, we can also make that district, you know, a tax abatement district up front and do that relatively quickly. It's just, there's not really nothing to that other than establishing a legal description for what we're going to call that district. You're not abating any taxes at the point.
Right.
So you're just making the properties available that will meet that criteria. So, yeah, that's something we can look at.
All right. What are wishes of council?
Well, I'll move to adopt item 7A as presented.
Second. So, any other discussion from council?
I think you should.
Do we need to open that up for public comments as part of the public hearing?
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Yes, we should. We should have done that.
Yeah, sorry.
But we'll do it now. We'll open it up to public comments if there are any. Yeah.
Good evening, Trudy Lofgren, a resident on the east side, and I think it's a great idea to allow the abatement for Mr. Migna and then to consider extending it. And can you still make it a District 2, or do you have to go to 3?
Yeah, we would probably have to call it 3, but we can incorporate that into it.
I think it's a good idea. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, we're going to close the public hearing now. What are wishes of council? Sarah, I got your remarks there.
I said I would move to adopt item 7A as presented.
All right. Motion by Councilman Johnston, second by Councilwoman Rabb to adopt the resolution. Please call the roll.
Kuchar?
Yes.
Rabb?
Yes.
Johnston?
Yes.
Bronson?
Yes.
Mallory?
Yes.
Temple?
Yeah.
I forgot. A lot of times we have public hearing. I write a note here, open public hearing myself, and I didn't do that.
Can we... I didn't hear it, send that to the Planning Commission then for discussion?
I don't think we need a formal vote on that. But
for expanding the district?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, that's something I'll just, between the council and myself, we can determine what that district might look like.
Okay.
It has to come to council. That's
okay.
All right.
That's fine.
As long as it's on the list of things to do.
Yeah.
All right, we'll move on to 8A, bills and disbursements, prepaid bills and disbursements for the month of December 2019. Any questions?
I'll move to approve the prepaid bills and disbursements for the month of December 2019 in the amount of $807,535.87.
Motion by Councilwoman Johnson, second by Councilman Mallory to approve the prepaid bills and disbursements. Please call the roll.
Rabb?
Yes.
Johnston?
Yes.
Bronson?
Yes.
Mallory?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
Kuchar?
Yes.
And 8B, unpaid bills and disbursements for the month of December 2019. Any questions? Thank you.
to approve the unpaid bills and disbursements for the month of December.
Second.
Motion by Councilman Rabb, seconded by Councilman Temple to approve unpaid bills and disbursements for the month of December 2019 in the amount of $49,565.18. Please call the roll.
Johnston?
Yes.
Bronson?
Yes.
Mallory?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
Kuchar?
Yes.
Rabb?
Yes.
I have a quick question before we move on. On the Michigan, number 30 Michigan Municipal League, the annual dues, is that the normal, or does that go up? Is there inflation on that?
It goes up slightly. I think it went up less than $100 from last year.
I know we've had the discussion in the past on you know, worth on that. Tom, that's something we still use the Municipal League quite frequently. Is that?
We use it for our workman comp fund, and we also use it for the unemployment compensation.
Okay, so that annual dues gives us another benefit because we're in, you know, group. Essentially,
right.
For those, correct.
And then training.
Yeah, I've gone to one of their weekenders. I've registered for another one in February.
Is there a cost to those, or are those free?
There is a cost to them. It's pretty minimal, though.
And we're paying them as a lobbyist, too. That's part of
right.
Thing. You do that, so. Yeah. And they're a good resource for any kind of new legislation that comes up, like medical marijuana. I mean, they've been a very good resource for...
Okay.
For that legislation and that type of stuff.
Oops, sorry, I asked after we approved it.
That's all right.
All right, department boards and commission reports. Planning Commission.
Yes, the Planning Commission met on the 19th. The January Planning Commission is moved to next Tuesday night, the 21st. Next Monday is Martin Luther King Day, so that's a federal holiday. It's a holiday for the city. So we moved it back one night. So the Planning Commission, again, is the 21st at 7 o'clock. And it's going to be a very important meeting. The medical marijuana draft ordinance will be... presented, and that will be the topic of discussion for the meeting, probably the only topic of discussion. The board requested that we provide them with a map, a setback map, similar to what's behind the council, that shows the zoning districts where provisioning centers are allowable. So we'll have that map in place. I should have that by tomorrow. And I'll send it to the Planning Commission, but we'll have a large map that shows the distances from the schools, which is 1,000 feet, and it'll show what 250 feet from churches looks like in relation to the zoning districts where they're allowable. That was a request of one of the Planning Commissioners. That is the final decision that needs to be made as far as the distance from churches before we can move forward to adopt an ordinance. So hopefully that is what's going to happen next Tuesday night, is that the Planning Commission will make a decision or
they'll
not.
Make a recommendation.
Yes.
So then it will come to us to either accept it as is or amend.
Right.
I'm assuming that if some church just popped up, that facility would be grandfathered in. Is that correct?
Yeah, you're talking about a new church?
Yeah.
The boundaries would be set at the date that the ordinance is set.
Right.
So if there was a medical marijuana facility operating in a church came within that 250, they would continue down.
Yeah, they would be grandfathered
in. But if they close, then probably a new owner would not be able to open.
What would happen if there wasn't a church there, but church owned the property, like the one that's was the old St. Charles Church, the bottom. What's the name of that church?
The Nazarene.
They own some property over where the old depot was, and they're going to build eventually.
Oh, okay. I can't answer that. That falls within the school boundary, so I don't think it's an issue. It overlaps. So they're already excluded because of the school. And you got the Christian Cornerstone there too. Yeah. They almost beat up.
Yeah.
That's a good question, Obama. I'll ask.
I'd like to make sure that because they do plan on building.
Yeah. Is it
church owned
potential?
Property.
Yeah. Is it a potential property that's a potential to be a church?
How
does it have to be active?
Yeah.
To be within the boundary.
How far is the boundaries for a school?
1,000 feet.
1,000 feet. Well, that's not even close to any of the schools or anything. 1,000 feet.
1,000 feet is like a fifth of a mile.
Well, yeah, but that's 1,000 feet. Not that much. But would it be a football field? Yeah. Would that be part of a school
back here? Everything that is yellow on that map is the school boundaries. So anything that's in yellow is excluded.
It's definitely in yellow.
Yeah. Okay. We'll see that. You'll check on that, Tom, just to clarify.
Yes, that's a good point.
All right. Any questions for Tom on that? All right. Any questions on the public safety monthly status? All right, we'll move on to general business. Consideration to allow the Sheboygan Area Arts Council to paint the exterior wall of Gordon Turner Park restrooms.
This was a request from... Oh, she is here. I didn't see her again. I was looking for you. Go ahead.
Oh.
You take it away.
So I'm Kathy Johnson, and I'm Executive Director of the Opera House and the Arts Council. And I am back on behalf of the Blue Bunnies. In Festival Square, the wall is falling. The bunnies aren't looking very good. The wall may be demolished. And so it's a piece of folk art, pop art, that we want to save. There are many Blue Bunny fans in Sheboygan. And I have a letter from one of them, a little fellow named Warren. He's 5, and he drew the bunnies, and he's in front of the bunnies with his picture. So I just want to make a request on behalf of the children and the adults, and the surprising number of people who do love those bunnies. So I just ask that we, if we can use the blank wall on the south side of the restroom at Gordon Turner Park. It's near the playground where the kids are. It's in the playground. And just thought it would be, it's very, there's no color back there, so it'd be a good place to put colorful bunnies.
That building's white all the way around, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
The bunnies are moving to the beach.
Yes. They want a vacation.
Yeah. And it's at no cost. I mean, she has somebody that's going to paint them and has the money to do it.
Don't forget about the raspberries.
The raspberries?
Are the raspberries going too?
They might. I don't know. That's going to be up to Carl.
Okay.
So I'm with the artist. Yeah, the artist will decide. Any questions about it? It is funded. We do have funding to do it. And I did hear there might be some renovation in... Gordon Turner Park. I know we're doing the picnic tables, but I heard there might be greater renovation with the marina.
Yes, that's a possibility.
Would that impact the bathroom walls?
No.
No.
Okay.
No.
Are bunnies all around or just on the south?
It depends on how much we can afford. If I do more fundraising, we can go all the way around.
So we're just being asked to vote on whether or not we would approve having the bunnies in that spot.
Yes, that's, yeah.
Yeah, I'll make the motion to allow that 10A. Yes.
I'll second.
Um,
motion by Councilman Mallory, seconded by Councilwoman Johnson, to allow the CAC to paint the exterior wall of the Gordon and Turner Park restrooms. Now, it just says paint. It doesn't explicitly.
With bunnies.
Paint bunnies. We can add that to the motion.
Well, I'm just saying that they could change their mind. So I guess.
Right.
Oh, I see. So if it's is that because he makes these really neat bumblebees too.
Oh. Okay. I'm just making that point. She talked about bunnies, right. But it doesn't say that.
Can we paint something to keep the seagulls away?
All right. We'll move on.
I think we just got to say all in favor.
Mm-hmm. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Also, where can I get one of those bunny pens?
The bunny pens will be available at the Opera House in a few weeks.
Awesome.
So we'll just stop by.
All right. Thanks, Kat. City clerks and treasurer's comments.
I have your revenue and expense by fund as of December 31st. Does anyone have any questions on that report? The only other thing I have tonight is I wanted to remind everybody, I sent out an email on Monday, which was yesterday. Our training has been rescheduled for January 23rd. It'll be here in City Hall from 5:30 to 7:30, and that's the extraordinary governance training that MSU Extension will be putting on for us. So if you could let me know if you'll make it so we can get an RSVP count over to Lindsay so she has enough material for everybody. I think I've received about 5 RSVPs so far. I'm sorry, what's that?
You said the 23rd. Oh, Thursday.
It's a Thursday.
I will be there.
Okay.
And that's all I have tonight.
Any update on audit?
It was submitted. Everything was good. We had to make one change to our PA-51 report, but other than that, we were in much better shape.
Are they going to come and do a report? Or?
I don't have a date yet. I'll reach out to Richard and see who they have available to come out and give us an update on that.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. City manager report.
There is a memorandum in your packet in regard to the Hope Network project for low-income housing tax credits. They submitted an application for the Hope Network project on October 1st. On December 23rd, they were told that they did not get funding for this round. They are going to resubmit for the April 1st deadline, 2020. They are going to make some changes. They're considering upgrading their application from building 40 units to building 66 units, because they already have the property to do so. They are going to expand the parking. One of the scoring criteria was parking per unit. They submitted one parking space per unit, and they're going to 1.5, which really is what our ordinance states. So they kind of got, they didn't score well with that. So they're going to change, they're going to add additional parking for those units. Because they're going to do that, they're going to add another piece of property, and more development, we'll have to come back to a public hearing for a planned unit development, and I hope to get the renditions. Sheila Campbell is the architect. I hope to get the renditions by early next week so we can look at what they're proposing to do. And then I'll take it to Planning Commission, and we'll set a public hearing probably sometime in March to be approved or not approved, whichever the wishes of the council are, and then they can make application by April 1st. So it's kind of a tight window, but we're going to work through it. They believe they have a pretty good chance in April. Oftentimes the state issues monies that are applied for in October to urban areas. More so in the April application, they they allocate monies to investors, developers in rural areas. So they're hoping they have a better shot with this round. And they have a pretty good understanding of what they need to improve to score higher. So hopefully they'll get something out of that. They're certainly not giving up. They're going to continue to try to find funding from MISHDA. So we'll look forward to that. I think soon we'll have the new renditions and exactly what they're going to do there.
Oh, good. I think any criticism I really heard was about the parking. So that's probably a good turn for them to expand the parking.
Yes, I think so.
Does this delay their overall timeline that they had kind of set out with that October deadline initially? Or were they kind of anticipating that?
They were anticipating that they wouldn't get funding. They kind of pushed it through quickly. And I really think all along they were looking at April. But they thought, why not give it a shot in October? And
get some constructive feedback.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's going to help them. Yeah.
Okay, awesome.
They know how they scored and they know what to do to score higher. Parking was one of them to get more points, and the other is to make it more of a larger development. So that's why they're adding 26 units. They're gonna score better because they've proven that it is a necessity for Sheboygan County, City of Sheboygan, to build these units. So I think that's going to help them. Also in your packets, and we just added Tom Hunkerberg's letter tonight. We just received that on Monday. The contracts of our legal counsel, Stephen Lindsay, who's our civil counsel, Tom Hunkerberg is our criminal counsel, are both up on February 1st. Policy is that the city manager can extend contracts such as this up to 3 times. And we just changed that back in 2016. We have extended the contracts of both Stephen Lindsay and Tom Hunkerberg 1 time. They're both 3-year contracts. Stephen Lindsay's contract will go up $1,000. His contract is $25,000 a year for legal services. He wants to go to 26 each of the next 3 years. Tom Hunkerford's at $17,500. He'll work 2020 at $17,500, and then he wants a 5% increase in 2021 and 2022. Again, the policy is that I can extend those contracts, and I recommend that we keep the legal counsel that we have. There's so much going on at this point. But the council absolutely has the right to want to send itself a request for proposals. So I'm basically tonight asking if that's something that the council would like to do. And if so, I'd put it on the agenda for January 28th. That process is going to take some time. But contract law allows a municipality to extend any kind of a contract like this, even after it's expired. It just stays in place until such contract is changed or reinstated.
Well, I think they both do a good job.
Yeah, I do too. We're going through so many changes right now internally, with a couple of retirements. There's a lot going on. Stephen Lindsay's worked diligently on a Meyer project, and we're not through with that yet. He's working on medical marijuana. He's working on rental registration. We have a lot of ordinances in place. So we're in the middle of a lot of civil council issues right now that would kind of put a damper on what we're doing today. And Tom Hunkerberg does a really good job. Tom functions as a prosecuting attorney for the city. So any kind of misdemeanor charges that occur in the city, Tom Hunkerford functions as a prosecuting attorney for those. It expedites those services. The Sheboygan County prosecuting attorney could manage those services, but it would be much more cumbersome. It would take longer to get that process through Sheboygan County, where we do it expeditiously. So it's a benefit to those people that are in trouble and our taxpayers.
And we're not obligated to seek bids until after the third expiration?
Yes.
I'm good with two of that.
Me too.
And we don't need a motion.
If we're good with
okay.
It, we don't need to do anything.
No, I can.
Now, is Stephen talking about retiring, or is he, I guess he's going to continue to do this for 3 years?
At least that, yeah.
Well, he has the opportunity to, and so do we, a 30-day written notice to end the contract. So
either way.
I don't think he'd do it in a 30-day window if he decided he was going to retire and give us ample opportunity.
And I think probably he's just slowing down what he's doing. You're not taking on as much.
Yeah.
Kind of harder.
Yeah, I think he wants to focus more on municipal law than what he's doing right now.
Okay.
I think that's what he's transitioning out of, focusing more on us.
All right, if there's no request to put this out to bid, then we'll let Tom make that decision. We'll move on
to
committee updates, which committees have met.
Yes, the Historic Resources Commission met, and basically they gave an update on the Huron Street Tabernacle. That sale is, I think, going to be completed with Mary Hebert at the end of this month, and she's open to anybody that's interested in putting in any time and sweat equity into it. She was trying to get me to convince the Rotary to take it on as a new project, so I'll take that back to the Rotary. Historic St. Charles Church is, the roof is fixed, and Bill Price plans to attack the pillars next. And on the January 1st, they had the Toast of the Town at St. Charles, and it was very well attended. There were over 200 people there, and it's just a beautiful facility, and what he's done to it so far, it's very exciting to see. The commission is really invested in preserving some of the history in the city, and they're going to work also with SHPO, which is the State Historical Preservation Office. There are grants available through them for additional funding to help some of that stuff go through. So that's what I have to report from them.
Yeah, thank you. Rec committee meets this week?
Yep, tomorrow.
Okay.
We did not meet in December. That was canceled. So tomorrow we'll get all caught up.
All right. Emmett and Michigan Main Street DDA?
Yeah. I have all kinds of stuff here because now I'm the secretary.
Thank you for volunteering.
Thank you. So,
and that's something to report. The secretary and treasurer are new officers.
That's correct. Yes, we have. I am the secretary now, more or less because nobody else wanted to. I said I'd do it, and that's fine. Treasurer is Bobby Krongeier. A couple things that Kirsten noted. She says hospitality night was December 5th. Trying to sit through all this stuff. Michigan Main Street is looking at having another visit. This is kind of for the DDA, where Michigan Main Street comes and deals with the DDA directly, and that could possibly begin March 10th. And that's just kind of a meeting where they kind of make sure we're heading in the right direction. They'll give us a few updates. You know, like we said before, it's kind of like we're just waiting to figure out what what we're going to do, and so this is kind of the next couple steps we'll give us. Secretary and Treasurer, I said, we had our volunteer kickoff. They said that was very well attended, and we're looking for more volunteers.
The committee chairs have set up meetings with people who volunteer for their committee, but they will take on more people, and each of those committee heads will. And so that's progressed to establishing committees, and now the committees become active.
Right. So for the, maybe you can enlighten me a little bit, the design committee, or what was this placement committee then? Is that what it is? Apparently she broke it up into two. There's a decor committee and there's a design committee now. But those meetings are going to be January 22nd at 4:30 for the decor and 6 o'clock directly after that for the design.
And these are public meetings, so if people want to come.
For the outreach committee, she said it's going to be the fourth Monday of each month at 6 p.m. at the library. And I don't believe any other meetings are set yet. They're just kind of due to be determined.
I think the events committee is supposed to meet at Nottingham on the 20th.
Is that what he said?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's okay. Yeah.
The placemaking committee that meets on the 22nd, that's a Wednesday, is that going to be a regular thing, the third or fourth Wednesday?
She didn't specify that. That's just the first meeting. I'm assuming that they'll kind of figure that out there.
Okay.
Yeah. That's it.
And so there were brief job descriptions for both secretary and treasurer. The secretary will take minutes of the meetings and present, will handle any correspondence and any signatures that need to be handled by.
Sure.
The committee. The treasurer will work with Bridget and Tom. They would like to see the Main Street DDA budget separated. I don't know if they've talked to you yet, or at least some of the elements pulled out so they can get a report on what their budget is, what they're spending money on, and that treasurer will make a monthly report to the committee of where they are, what their revenue and expenditures are. And so I think Bobby will meet with you too.
Yeah, Bobby and I have actually already met, and okay. I've provided them with reports for the last quarter.
And I encouraged them to get involved in the budgeting process of the city budget too, just to know, that cycle, when revenue comes in, that kind of stuff, because most of the revenue comes in 3 months period, right?
1 month. Tax settlement is when we get one lump sum from the county, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're not collecting it. The county settles that out at the end.
All right. So one big check, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Have we started billing them for public works services?
We discussed that at the meeting. Brett brought that up with the board. It's something they had not heard yet. Mm-hmm. So I think that's going to be an ongoing discussion. They wanted some more details on that, but I think there were some sympathetic listeners there that they understood. That's what we were aiming for.
Yeah, I basically said, I think John said, so there's a wind blowing that way. I said, oh yeah. just as the committees start to get formed or whatnot, say, okay, you want to build this new grand thing, well, you got to realize there's going to be some maintenance costs and you need to budget that in.
Right, we have to think long-term.
So there was a discussion about some building them for like when we put up lights in the downtown area and the city crew has to come in. Mm-hmm. Also talking about a long-range plan for big projects like the footbridge, setting aside money for ongoing maintenance of those big projects, which has never been done before. Mm-hmm. So both of those subjects were brought up as the discussion goes on.
Yeah.
And
really a lot of the new developments in the city is happening in their area, and so as those tax values go up, they're one of the parts of the city that's really seeing an increase in revenue because all that new tax generation goes to the media. So hopefully we can share.
Yeah. There's a couple grants that some of them have mentioned that maybe I'll tell you guys that. Okay, there is it's for Pure Michigan. Apparently there were some cuts is what they were saying, and they're not sure if Pure Michigan is going to kind of stay around. And but if they do, there's a $50,000 cost to us, to the DDA for this grant. It's a matching grant. We would pay $50,000, and then they would match that for $50,000. And supposedly for each dollar that's spent for that, it's for advertising basically. And supposedly for each dollar that's spent for that, you get $8 in return is what it said. So that's one of the grants that someone mentioned.
It wasn't $50,000, just that it was $50,000 from county, because I think the...
Is that what it is?
Yeah, because part of the chamber is involved in meeting that, and also the tourist bureau.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
and so
yeah, he might know more about that then.
Yeah, the way the Pure Michigan program works, there is a lot of question right now. The budget for the Pure Michigan program, which has won national awards for the quality advertising promotion piece for community, governor decided in her budget approval to strike all $35 million from the budget for Pure Michigan. So right now, it is not funded through the Michigan State budget. There are a lot of behind-the-scenes efforts going on to restore that funding. Sheboygan is one of the communities that has been involved with the Pure Michigan and has utilized the Pure Michigan campaign the last several years. Originally starting through the Great Up North initiative, which joined Sheboygan, Indian River, and Mackinac City communities to do one county or a broader scope of marketing. Indian River and Mackinac City have both expressed this last year that they are not interested in continuing that partnership. So Sheboygan Area Visitors Bureau has taken on management of the Pure Michigan marketing program for the Sheboygan area. You're right, it's a $50,000 buy-in. The Visitors Bureau has put up or has budgeted $30,000 of that $50,000. There is an effort going on right now to raise that remaining $20,000 to bring it to the $50,000. So if anybody's interested in being continuously marketed through the permission campaign, there's an opportunity to be involved there. But all of that could be moot depending on how the state budget plays out in the future. I do know of some efforts that are being done to have some alternative funding, which would hopefully restore the Pure Michigan. The Pure Michigan is owned by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation, so to restore some of that funding in the Michigan Economic Development Corporation for the Pure Michigan program, probably would not be back to that same $35 million, but at least going in that direction. All of that being said, the Visitors Bureau is watching it very closely. Chamber is helping with that, too. If anybody's got any questions on Pure Michigan, give us a call.
Thanks, Scott. There was one other grant that Emily brought up. It's through Eagle, which used to be...
DEQ.
Apparently they are picking 70 committees, and Sheboygan is eligible to put in an application for this. The grant is for $70,000 toward an EV charging station, so to charge your car. Mm-hmm. That's not a grant that kind of looking at.
Yep.
All right. Okay, I'll take that out with you.
Tom, one of the things that came up during that meeting also was about communications with the VA about getting email addresses.
Chiboygan, yes.
Did they talk to you about setting
yes,
those up?
Yes, I'm aware of that. I don't have those set up yet, but okay. It's sometime this week I'll set those up for them.
All right. So in the future, they'll have city email addresses, so anybody wanting to communicate with them can go on the city web page and be able to reach out to them.
Yes. Yep.
Right. Will the names of the committee chairs be on the city website for the DDA Main Street? Or where can people find that information?
Well, yeah, they can be, certainly. Yeah, I don't know if
the DDA Main Street has a page, don't they?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know if
they can. Downtown.
Who manages that?
Kirsten.
just brought up that they would like the DDA maybe get their own Sheboygan email or some kind of contact information because they didn't want their own email on there.
Right. Sure. I recommend that they not use their phone.
That makes sense.
No, I didn't.
All right. We'll move on to messages and communications from mayor and council members. Nick?
No.
What?
No.
Sure. I do have a few things. I'm sure we're going to talk about it more tomorrow, Tom, but can you give us a quick overview where we are with the Rec Authority? We were waiting to hear back from somebody, I can't remember the name of the organization.
Yeah, LIAA. And I think I told the council, Harry Burkholder, who was working with us, he developed our master plan for Trails Towns. He was with LIAA. It's a nonprofit organization out of Traverse City. And he was helping us with formulating the recreational authority. He left late last year, took a job with the Traverse City DDA. So he's gone, but LIAA still has a staff that can help us with the recreational authority. And I think tomorrow night we need to make a determination if we should bring them in to help us. And they'll do some presentations for basically travel expenses to come here. I think it would be good to hear what they have to say. They've organized some recreational authorities, which we are going to change the name of that. We're not. I mean, it's legislation that says that they're recreational authorities, but we're going to try to call that a different heading, so to speak.
Something more friendly.
Yes.
Which reminds me, I did have a few people make comments to me that they wished we had a pool.
I know. I heard that too somewhere.
One of the people who mentioned that, she is a swim instructor, so I'll give her some credit.
Sure. That would be a great thing to have. But it's just so cost prohibitive to do it.
Lake
here.
Yes.
I don't think she wants to teach in there right now. Also, I think the Rec Commission is, especially now that we have a secretary for DDA, I think Rec Commission is the last city commission that doesn't have their own secretary. Is that the case?
That's true.
Have we made any headway on that? Is that something we could potentially talk about tomorrow night in the meeting?
Yeah, that would make sense. Let's bring it up tomorrow night. And, especially because Janet does the Recreation Commission minutes.
Oh, yeah, so we got to fix that.
She's going to be gone at the end of the month.
So we got to fix that now, yeah. I think we'll talk about that tomorrow. I also wanted to share a couple other comments I've heard. One is trash cans. At the Christmas parade, actually, there were a lot of people who were looking for trash cans. They were disappointed that we didn't have at least a few around Festival Square area.
Mm-hmm.
I even had a few business owners say that they would not mind having to clean around them in their sidewalk areas just to have a few in that downtown area.
There's actually four in Festival Square.
Oh, good.
They've been there for years.
They must not have found those ones. Also, I've heard really great things about the attendance at our local movie last night. I heard that there's standing room only in the theater, which is really awesome.
Wow.
I went to my first Art Vision meeting. When was that, last week or the week before? I don't know if anybody else from council has been involved in that at all, but it's very exciting seeing the work that that group's doing. They've got some very forward momentum, and they're doing a lot of projects that they're planning on getting done soon, which is really awesome to see. And also, I wanted to, if you could pass on to the Historic Commission, Diane, that I'm so thankful to have them. I recently learned about a building that I didn't know existed that somebody showed me pictures of, and it was heartbreaking to think that we tore that building down. So as a young person thinking of my grandchildren, I'm very happy we have people who are going to protect what we already have. I think that's all of my comments. Oh, I did want to comment on the plowing. I haven't heard any complaints about plowing this year, which tells me people are very happy with how the plowing's going. So.
Good. As far as the garbage cans downtown, the DDA has talked about that a lot for years. We do pull them off the sidewalks, the garbage cans that are out there. And there is one of the issues is in the wintertime, people have to shovel and they have to work around the garbage cans. But there is a garbage can that they make that attaches to the pole. It's up off the ground. Mm-hmm. We've considered buying those at one time, so maybe that's something we should bring back up to the DDA to at least certain parts of town.
They've been talking about it.
Yeah.
I know from what I saw at the Christmas parade, people were using snowbanks because there are personal garbage cans all over the place. So it'd be nice to have a little bit more of that in the wintertime to keep things clean.
Yeah, and that is frustrating. There's a lot of people downtown in the Christmas parade, and that is frustrating to have some garbage in your hand and no place to put it.
Thank you.
Just one thing that I know has been circulating on Facebook, and some of you may be aware of it, HGTV is looking for small towns and communities to come in and sort of revamp some of the property. And Susan Page has sort of picked up the ball on that. The application's fairly simple. Kathy Kim Johnson and Lindsay Bork have been looking at getting video and taking pictures of some of the wonderful architecture that exists around the town as part of the application. So just so you know that there's a group out there that wants to make us famous and maybe get some outside help to come in and do what everyone else around here is trying to do as far as polishing our town and making it as lovely as we all know it is. So that movement is afoot. So if you hear rumors, that's what's going on.
I just had one comment I wanted to address what Susan brought up about non-citizens, and we appreciate having people comment, and we won't stop non-citizens commenting. On a personal level, for me, it's hard sometimes to listen to people that the city is principally funded by property taxes. People who don't pay property taxes, it's hard to listen to giving opinions and telling us how we should do stuff because they do not have a monetary interest in the city. They also don't vote here. I know a lot of people see the city as theirs, even though they don't live in it, but I see a separation there. If you love the city, move into the city limits and buy some property. And that's all I got to say.
Well, on that note, I thought that you were wrong. Here we're saying that the government, Inverness and Sheboygan, everybody should work together because we're all one. But then all of a sudden we stop somebody from giving a comment. And I didn't think that was right then. That's my opinion.
No, and I don't think that's right for us to stop non-citizens from talking to. I guess I'm going to apologize for making that comment.
All right. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.